never ceases to amaze me when the song leader can just essentially read right into your thoughts of the afternoon and pick out song after song after song that really just fit perfectly with a lesson. He didn't know what I was talking about. No one did until Anna found out a little while ago. And just the singing tonight has just been perfect to go along with what I want to talk about. And I want to talk about singing. I want to talk about Austin's favorite song. Every night, it's time for him to go to bed. We get ready to say his night prayer, and he'll go through and want to say his ABCs and say, "I want to sing the Joy Joy song." And he loves to sing. "I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart." Now, there's a couple of reasons why. If you're a kid and you remember how you were, that whole "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart" where business. You get to scream out, so you'd be quiet in Bible class or in various things. And so there's a number of reasons why he likes it. But you know, it stays on my mind because he sings it. He wants to sing it, and Ann and I usually swap out putting the kids to bed. Catch it every other night or every couple of nights. But it's there. And that's a good song to have constantly playing in your head because we need to be reminded. And I wonder sometimes if we were to sing these songs as adults, if we could really mean them. You know, we live in... Most of us are pretty cluttered, aren't we? I mean, we have a lot of stuff. I never realized just how much stuff I have until it comes time to move, and then you're packing it all up, and you're like, "Man, I got to get all of it up." And I've been with my father. He has gotten rid of a lot of things before they moved this last time. But you know, having been overseas and seeing how I live and the meager lives that they have and the very few belongings that they have, it just makes us realize we have a lot of stuff. And because we have so much stuff, it's easy to get things misplaced. How many times have you walked around? "Honey, where's the keys? I can't find the keys. I don't remember what I did with them." I've really worked hard to start saying, "What did I do with the keys?" instead of, "Honey, where'd you put the keys?" Because that's usually the way it came out for the first 13 years. I wonder if we were to sing this song as adults, if it might not would have to go a little bit more of, "I got the joy, 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 joy. There I put it." Because we lose it, don't we? As we talk this morning, everything in this world is doing all that it can to bring us down, to bring us sorrow, to just make us miserable. And we sometimes misplace that joy that we're supposed to have as Christians. And so I appreciate my son, his favorite song, and keeping it as a reminder. And so I want us to look this evening, you know, do we really have the joy down in our heart? Do we really have the love of Jesus down in our heart? Do we really have the peace that passes all understanding? That's a lot easier. I learned it, the peace that surpasses all understanding, and I think that's a little bit easier of a way to sing it. But do we really have that? And do we have it in the right place? And so that's what we want to ask this evening. Do you truly have the joy of Jesus Christ? Can it be seen in your life? Is it heard in your life? Is it evident in the way that you live? The way that you sing praises to God? The way that you go about your life? The way that you sing? Again, to show the joy that you have. But how do you sing more like a funeral dirge? You know? If we were to sing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." Sounds a little bit more like Eeyore, doesn't it? That's the way we are, isn't it? Do we really have it? If we were to ask our friends to be truly honest, I love it when people put these things on Facebook, "Describe me in one word." Nobody tells exactly what they think about you on Facebook or in person. If you came up and said, "Ken, tell me what you really think about me." Well, let's see. What do I not want said in a sermon? I'll tell him that. No, I can't tell him that. He'll say it. But if your friends were really honest about you, and you know what they would say, what would they say about you? Would they say you're always a happy, upbeat kind of a person? That you're always a person that nothing really gets you down? That no matter what the world is throwing at you, you just continue on trudging throughout life, trudging, not in this whole slow, barely getting through life, plowing through with a smile on your face and a song on your lips. Would they say that about you? If they were going to be truly honest about you, would they say that you're a glass half full kind of a person? Or would you like the person said, you're more of a, you see the world as the glass is half empty, it's cracked, and you just cut your lip on it. You know, and you listen to them, and that's pretty much it. There's no good in anything. Oh, patience, a hard time as she was coming in. She's like, I can't stand the rain. I said, well, you got two choices. She was mad because it was making her hair wet. I said, well, you can be like me and be bald, and you won't care about the rain because it can't mess up your hair. She's like, I'm like, see, you got reason to like the rain. And that's the thing. We have two choices in everything that we do. We have two responses that we can give. As Christians, we should have a joy easily seen. Now, before I go to this lesson, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Everybody has down days. I don't care who you are. You can read some of the writings of the Apostle Paul, and it seems that at times depression kind of hit him pretty hard because he's like, I was left all alone. But you know, he always turned around, oh, but Jesus was with me. We noted this morning, Job, probably one of the most wonderful men in the Scriptures, most faithful men in the Scriptures, he had his down moments. Solomon had his down moments. I'm talking about this is the way you always are. Job, is your joy such as can be seen? You see, in Acts chapter 2, there in verse 47, we read about those first century Christians. Look at what it said about them praising God. And it was a visible thing, wasn't it? Because all the people saw what was going on, praising God and having favor with all the people. That's an important part of that verse that we need to look at. Do they see that we are close-knit believers, that we care about one another, that we're excited, that we are truly a joyful people? I can't help but wonder when I read that. Maybe that's why we can't get people to come to church, or we can't get them to stay, or we can't get them to obey the gospel. It's because we're having for the people. They don't see the joy that we should be having as a child of God. You see, we should be a beacon of joy. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, there beginning in verse 14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. Let your light shine before men in such a way as they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now just pause for just a moment. This light. That's another song kids like to sing. This little Christian light of mine. When we were kids, it was, I'm going to let it shine. But now, would you be honest and say that most of our lights are like that flashlight that's just about gone? It's flickering. But it's lighting up just enough to make the world look a little bit more dismal. A little bit more dark. You see, Christians are to be a beacon of hope in a world. We're to be a people that people look at and go, man, nothing affects him. He can work through anything. He's got something that's backing him, something that's driving him, something that's giving him joy that I can't find. I want to find out where he's getting that. That's the kind of joy that we need to have. It is to be one that can be seen. And so we've got to get the joy back where it belongs. Quit leaving it on the pew when you leave Sunday afternoon or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Take it with you. Take it, put it back in your heart. We've got to focus on the source of joy, Jesus Christ. We need to think for just a moment about where we came from, what we were, how we were mired in sin. We were dead in our trespasses. Separated from God. We were among those that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But as Paul says further in verse 10, you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord and the Spirit of our God. You see, we need to keep in mind we have great reason for joy. We've been lifted out of the pit of poverty and put in the seat of luxury. Spiritual luxury. We've been taken out of the most difficult, horrible, disgusting situation and made cleansed to walk in newness of life as a child of God. We've gone from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. Why would we not be joyful? You see, we need to have the attitude that Paul had. By the grace of God, I am what I am. We don't deserve it. And we can't do anything to deserve it. It's solely by the grace of God. Wouldn't that give you joy? Shouldn't it? Someone up and dropped $1 million check in your lap. Wouldn't you be pretty happy? You don't have to do anything for this. Just go cash it. Well, I don't care if you don't deserve it. It's yours. You go and you enjoy it. Wouldn't that make us happy? Why is it we can see it so easily in the physical side, but not so much on the spiritual side? If you were to make a list of things that made you happy, I wonder what would be on that list. Now, I'm sure many present would say, well, my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my family, they make me happy. I enjoy spending time with them. I don't like to be away from them for very long. Others might say, well, my friends make me happy. I enjoy spending time with my friends. We have a lot of things in common. We enjoy things. And I just have a great time when I'm with my friends. Their joy is more from that new TV show comes out. I've been waiting and waiting. It just makes me so happy. I know I talk about Facebook a lot, but everybody I know is, that's how I'm able to talk to them. It amazes me how many people, Friday night, Thursday night, whenever it was that American Idol was on, they were just so excited. It's American Idol night. Okay. That's fine. Some people, that's what makes them happy. Others can't wait for that new movie to come out. I just can't wait. I've been waiting my whole life to be able to see a movie about this story. And maybe waiting for that new book to hit the bookshelves from that long-awaited author. Maybe some people, that joy is it's in the ear. The edge of the woods. Now for some, that joy is seeing it through the scope. For others, it's seeing it through the viewfinder on a camera. But we find joy in various different things. I wonder how many of us, if we were honest, now because we're all Christians, because we all say we're Christians and we all believe in God, that's usually the first thing we throw on the list, isn't it? God makes me happy. Yes, I'm very sure that God is one of those that makes me happy. But if we were to follow ourselves around throughout the day, the thoughts and the things that we do, would God say He's on the list of things that make you happy? You see, these are the things that we need to think about. Because as we talked this morning, life is fighting hard at you. There is no joy to be found in life. Any joy found in life is temporary. Everything followed by sorrow. You wait for that favorite movie of yours to come out and you finally mention, well, it's just not like the book. There's disappointments in every facet of this life. You wait your whole life to meet that perfect someone and you think, this is the one, and then you find out, wow, she's not that perfect. She's got some imperfections. And she's thinking at the same time, well, you ain't no walk in the park either there, buddy. Life is full of disappointments. We need to turn our attention back to God. I think we would do well to spend time in our lives reading the book of Psalms. And I just want to take just a few moments to look at a couple of passages there in the book of Psalms. There in the first chapter, first Psalm. Psalm number 1, there in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. The reason I say I think we would do well to devote a little bit more time to the reading of Psalms is you read the psalmist, and that's a phrase that comes up a lot. His delight, His joy is in the commandments, the precepts, the testimonies of God. You don't believe it? Let's go to the 119th Psalm. And look at how many times it happens there. I rejoiced in your testimonies as much looky there, as in all riches. If I had all the money in the world, I'd be the happiest man. No, the psalmist says, no. give me all the riches, it's nothing compared to the joy that I have in the testimonies of God. Psalm 119 there, verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. Later there in verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Read the Psalms. Take a leaf out of the Psalms and meditate on them day and night. See how the psalmist, whether it be David or any of the others who wrote the various psalms that are collected there, see how much joy they had in serving God and in reading His Word and thinking about His Word. Maybe if we devoted as much time to the Word of God as the psalmist did, meditating on it, we're a much happier person. You have the joy down in your heart. You know what awesome delights is that verse talking about the devil. Because the devil doesn't like it when we're happy. Doesn't. You go back to the book of Job, and there you have Job in the beginning. He's rich. He has a number of kids. He loves his kids. He loves his family. He's got numbers. And Satan comes up and God says, have you seen Job? Ain't he a good... Satan said, well, yeah, I would be too if I had all the blessings he had. Let me make him unhappy. And he goes through and he does all the things that he can. And we know to this morning, Job's high, low, high. But you think of all that he had gone through before he reached that point. And even then, he was unwilling to curse God. He was willing to go against God. That was the only joy he had up. His physical life was worthless. His only God. Never like it when we're happy. The devil's going to lie, cheat, steal. He's going to knock us down. And while we're down, he's going to kick us. We wonder sometimes, why are all these things happening together? Was it bad things happen in threes? Well, if Satan has his way, they happen in fours and fives and sixes and sevens. He's going to do everything he can to make you doubt your faith in God. He's going to do everything he can to shake that joy that you have in your heart. But you know, as the song says, hey, if the devil doesn't like it, he can just sit on an attack. You know what? The devil doesn't have a say at all in whether or not I'm happy. My happiness is not depending on the devil and what he thinks or what he wants. My happiness is not dependent on any. No one can take away the joy of Jesus Christ. Quote, Mr. Bob Farrell, don't worry. Some of you who are my generation or older might remember that song. But you know what? That's a biblical teaching. I'm not saying all this is some of the biblical teaching, things of that nature. But that idea of don't worry, be happy, that's exactly what Jesus was teaching in His lifetime here on earth. You look there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. What did he say? He says, don't you worry. And you go down to verse 33 and he says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. He says, don't you worry about the things of this world, the cares and thoughts and concerns. Don't worry. Seek after the kingdom of God and His righteachousness. What we see from the teachings of Jesus is Jesus was saying, be happy. Because when you look where Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God that we're seeking after. Look there, he gets referred to the kingdom of God. In Matthew 3, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure and found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What do you get from seeking after the kingdom of God? Great joy. Don't worry, be happy. Seek after the kingdom of heaven. Going further in verses 45 and 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had. And this was the greatest possession he could imagine. He was so happy to find it, and he was going to do anything he could to have it. And so think of what Jesus taught. What is it that usually brings us down? One of Satan's greatest tools. Well, how are you going to pay the bills? What are you going to eat? You know, the money's getting kind of thin there in the bank to buy. What are you going to eat? Those clothes are getting a little thin. Put forth a good presentation of yourself. People won't take you seriously. You know, what are you going to wear? Of course, that's not the reason why people worry about clothes. They worry about, well, everybody at school is wearing this. Why can't I wear that? You know, this is the fashion of the day. I want to be fashionable. That's usually what most people are worrying about. And the more you worry about it, the more down you get. The more you think about how little money you have, how little food you have, the more depressed. And what do you do when you're depressed? You worry more. And one of the things I've discovered, people who face depression and are what we might would call worry warts, is they're not content just worrying about their own life. They're going to worry about everybody else too. And what does that do? It just brings them down even further. Jesus said, "Oh, don't worry. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you'll find joy." You see, Jesus was teaching us, don't worry. Find joy. You see, we need to understand that there is joy to be had. You look at this world, you watch the news and you think, there's just nothing to be happy about. There's no good news in the world. There's no good news in my life. This is going wrong. That's going wrong. This other person, they're always telling me about it, so that brings me down. But there is something to be joyful about. Something that nothing in this world can even come close to competing with. As we sang in the song, I'm happy today. It's a happy day. In Jesus Christ, I'm happy today. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Do you? Have you lost it? It can be refound. Talk about all his problems that we had this morning. He had done everything, seen everything, written about everything. And he said it's all just vanity. Just driving after the wind. But look at what he says there at the end. At the end of his life, he writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the conclusion. When all in heard is, fear God and keep His commandments. For this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. There's going to be difficult times in our lives. Times that are going to bring sorrow. But if we truly have the joy in sorrow, it won't get us down. I can't help but think about an old friend of mine. She's the same age as me, father same as my dad. And he just passed away after a long, difficult illness. And she passed the news on by saying this, "My dad has achieved his heavenly reward." She, I would venture to say, was probably a lot closer to her dad than I am to mine. She's lived there near it pretty much her entire life. I haven't lived, well, about 14, 15 years. But I can imagine losing a father at such a young age. Yet even in the deepest, darkest moment of her life, the death of her father, there's joy. Joy that he prepared his life. He lived as well as he could as a child of God. And he was ready to go on to his heavenly reward. Only in serving God is there everlasting joy. The question for you this evening is, do you have that joy down in your heart? Only two individuals know. You and God. As Solomon said, every man's going to be judged by the things they've said and done. Is your joy a visible joy? Your joy that spreads the gospel of Jesus Christ through the attitude that you have? Or is your attitude more of one that don't ask so-and-so about this because you don't want to hear what they've got to say? You don't want to get them started on this particular subject. As Christians, we should always be looking for joy. And it can only truly be found in God, in Jesus Christ. If your life isn't as happy as you think it should be, then you are without God. That's plain and simple. If you don't have the joy that we can read of in the Scriptures, you are without God. And it is time to turn to Him. Whether you need to humbly submit to His will, or you need to turn in your faithful service to Him. Devote your time to reading and studying His Word. Let His Word bring joy into your heart. And you can face anything this world has to throw at you. Don't shake that joy. Perhaps you're here, you need to return to the Lord. Now's the time, as we stand and as we sing.